Good morning, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to the Sequoia Results of the Second Quarter Teleconference. Here we have with us today Mr. Armando Marchesan Neto, who is the founder and CEO, Bruno Henrique Souza, COO, and Fernando Stucchi, CFO and IRO. We would like to inform you this event is being recorded, and all participants will be listening to the teleconference during the Sequoia presentation. We will then go to the questions and answer sessions, where we will give you more information and instructions. In case any of you need assistance during the teleconference, please request the help from an operator by typing asterisk zero. This event is also being simultaneously transmitted online through a webcast, which can be accessed on the address ri.sequoia.com.br, where you can see the presentation in PowerPoint. Slides will be controlled by each of the speakers, and the replay of this event will be available right after we close. We would like to remind you that the webcast participants can register their questions on the website. Questions that will be answered at the end of the conference by the Investor Relations Department. Before continuing, we would like to also clarify that declarations made during this teleconference about the perspectives or predictions and projections for Sequoia business, as well as operational goals, are based on premises from the company as well as updated current information. Future considerations and predictions are not assurances of performance and involve risks, market uncertainties, and premises because they are related to the future and depend on circumstances which may or not change. Investors and analysts should understand that general conditions in the sector, and other operational factors may affect future results of Sequoia and also produce different results than those predicted in this results call. With that, I will pass the word to Mr. Armando Marchesan Neto, founder and CEO of Sequoia. He will begin the presentation. Please, Mr. Armando, you may continue. Good morning to all. It is a great pleasure to announce today our results for the second quarter of 2022. I will begin now by presenting slide number four, which you can follow, where I will be discussing some of the financial highlights and operational highlights of the second quarter of 2022 compared to the same period last year. We would like to start by the transported GMV, which reached 12.6 billion reais, presenting an increase of 12.9%. The amount of orders reached 20.9 million, an increase of 89.7%. Highlight to the historical achievement of the B2C sector of 19.3 million of orders, doubling what was done last year. I would like to highlight all of the B2C growth is organic. The gross revenue reached 594.9 million reais with a gross of 36.2%. I would also like to highlight once again B2C, which represented 399.7 million reais, an organic growth of 55.5%. EBITDA was 75.8 million reais, presenting an increase of 58.3%, as EBITDA margins were 15.3%, an improvement of 2.3 percentage points. Adjusted EBITDA by non-recurrent effects reached 61.7 million reais and grew 33.7%. The adjusted margin was 12.4%. Our leverage index, measured by our net debt EBITDA, continues at a stable and healthy level, 1.4 times, reflecting the benefits of our operational model, which is asset light with a ROIC of 43.8%. Moving on to our operational highlights, I would like to highlight that we continue to be focused on the opportunities for inorganic growth, being one of our most strategic pillars. Currently, we're working with a more selective pipeline due to the current market scenario. Midterm, we believe the pipeline will become more robust and grow again as opportunities increase due to a more restrictive scenario for credit and loans, which will impact medium and small companies in our sector. During this quarter, we were recognized in the innovation front. We were recognized as one of the most innovative companies in Brazil in the ranking of 100 plus innovators for IT. Finally, we participated in the portfolio of Women in Leadership. The index was created by Teva Indexes and evaluated quantitatively 343 different listed companies, considering how many women are in councils, committees, and boards, electing the 66 with the best score to compose the index, Elas 11. This achievement strengthens our commitment to gender diversity and equity and shows that we are on the right path to promoting a work environment with equal opportunities for all. Going to the next slide now, slide number 5. In the figure, you can see and our reaffirmed position in the logistics market, offering a full portfolio of services, all enabled with unique and proprietary technology. First of all, as you can see in this figure, I highlight the participation of our sectors in terms of gross accumulated revenue in the last 12 months. B2C sector represented 64%, followed by B2B with 27%, and finally, the logistics sector with 9%. Our strategic focus is still integrating our ecosystem of physical and digital services, where we understand is the greatest opportunity for growth, returns, and consolidating the leadership of the company on the long term. In B2C sector, we continue consolidating our routes and paths, increasing volumes, highlighting that we doubled the size of the operation during the last 12 months. In the second quarter, the SFX and Frenet services were integrated. Our technology for pickups in different points is now part of our delivery Frenet platform, becoming an option for small and medium-sized companies that need more efficient logistics services and solutions. Drops already has 1,500 pickup and drop-off points and is also at the final stage to be integrated to the platform, which brings the convenience of different pickup points spread out throughout Brazil. In B2B, we have a full portfolio of services, including express delivery, field services, and reverse services. It's important to also highlight our focus on the less than truckload model, or sharing the same truck for different clients, the same way we operate in our B2C sector. One of our strategic pillars is to move forward in our integration of B2C and B2B, taking advantage of structures and routes and synergies that are already available, consolidating our operation, automating our investments and technology. Within this front, Linkros is an important piece for evolving and integrating both sectors and segments. Besides this, we have integrated for our clients our fulfillment, cross-docking, and refurbishing through our logistics segment. I would like to close by saying we are a company that offers logistics services. We are enabled by technology and keep moving forward in building our ecosystem of solutions. Now, I would like to go to page 6, and I invite our COO, Bruno Henrique, to go through the main operational highlights for the period. Please, Bruno. Thank you, Armando. Good morning to all. Going to slide 7, here you'll see the highlights of our operational ecosystem. At the top of the figure, I would like to call your attention to the development that we have carried out in our pickup point, multiple origin pickup point platforms with SFX and more recently Drops. SFX is present in 642 cities, adding up to 22,000 different pickup points, which are in most places small and medium-sized sellers that make their products available in big marketplace. Besides this, Drops has moved forward. Our PUDOS, or pickup and drop-off points, which already have 1,500 points. This robust pickup operation, plus the biggest delivery service in Brazil, reaching 4,260 cities, which represent 94% of Brazilian GDP, are fundamental for the strong growth we have demonstrated. As you can see, observed to the right of this figure, we delivered almost 72 million requests in the last 12 months, an increase of 56% in relation to the last 12 months, which closed at the second quarter of 2021. Finally, I would like to emphasize that this growth of expressive volume allied to our guidance and efficiency have transformed our operation. The automation of our new distribution centers with the implementation of new sorters and new projects with improved systems have impacted relevant KPIs. To the right of the figure, you'll see, based on 100, a reduction of 13% in the cost of our shipping cost for in the B2C sector, individual shipping cost. To the left side of the figure, you'll see the number of requests, which doubled, going from 1,900 to 4,000 per quarter. Here on the next slide, number 8, you'll see the way we open requests. Once again, a record was broken, especially for the B2C sector. The amount of orders in B2C doubled when compared to last year, reaching 19.3 million in the last quarter of 2022, a historical mark. Average ticket reached 20.7 reais, retraction when compared to last year, but 4% above the first quarter of 2022. Retraction relating to last year reflects the mix of packages that are transported, with an increase of light items weighing up to 3 kilos when compared to the other categories. In the B2B sector, we had an increase of 8% in volume. Average ticket increased in 3% when compared to the last year and 5% when compared to the first quarter of 2022. I would like to call your attention to the fact that during the second quarter of 2022, we worked together with our clients, increasing prices also due to the increase in the fuel price, which contributed to the increase of average ticket prices. Consolidating sectors, we reached 20.9 thousand orders in the second quarter of 2022, with a strong growth of 90% when compared to the last year. When we go to slide 9 now, you'll see the updating of our integration of the Echo Solutions ecosystem. Our focus is to show how we're evolving our strategy for small and medium-sized producers. We see this market with highly potential, and today we still have a small participation in direct shipping versus direct sales. As you can see in the figure, Frenet, our shipping platform, already has relevant participation in this market. Between 2019 and 2022, we increased in 11 times the amount of small and medium-sized vendors on the platform, reaching 53,000. These vendors use the platform to price their shipping for direct sales, creating an excellent opportunity for our services of pickups and deliveries. So we started to integrate the Frenet platform as another solution together with Sequoia. Drops is at the final stage of integration, which will bring another solution for the small and medium-sized market. But added up, SFX and Frenet have a multiple origin pickup point operation for the B2C market. The results are great, and we are confident of the strategy for increasing our growth and increasing our participation in the small and medium-sized market. Going to slide 10, I now pass the word to Stuki, and he'll tell us about the financial results. Thank you, Bruno. Good morning to all. Before I begin my presentation, I would like to highlight that starting 2022, thanks to our more efficient communication with the market, we started to no longer adjust our results by the IFRS 16. Thus, our numbers are demonstrated according to the societary results. For the analysts that follow the metrics with the exclusion of IFRS 16, we set up a table with the results for on page 11 for reconciliation. Now, going to slide 11, we have the main financial highlights for the quarter. We reached a record level of gross revenue for the quarter with 594,000 million reais, representing growth of 36% when compared to last year. Gross profit was 90.2 million reais with an increase of 45% in the annual comparison and a gross margin of 18.2%. 1.3 percentage points above last quarter of 2021. EBITDA accelerated with a growth of 58%, reaching 75.8 million reais with a margin of 15.3%, 2.3 percentage points higher than last year. Adjusted EBITDA by non-recurrent effects growth would be 34% with a margin of 12.4%. Our net profit, adjusted net profit by non-recurrence and amortizations of intangibles generated in acquisitions was 7.8 million, and finally our ROIC reached 43.8%. In the next slide, slide 12, I present the comparison of gross revenue. As you can see on the graph to the right, we reported a growth in the quarter of 36% or 34% organic in relation to the last year. It's interesting to observe that in the comparison, when compared to 2020, we more than doubled our quarterly profits. Over the last 6 months, we have maintained strong growth of 38%, being 31% organic increase. In the graphs to the right, we broke revenue down by the two main sectors of the company's actions. In B2C, we had a robust growth of revenue of 55%, totally organic growth. The accumulated of over 6 months, the increase was 56%. As Bruno just mentioned, we transformed our operation in the last 12 months, bringing in a volume double the size for our routes and structures, being that later on we will show you the positive impact that this has generated on the company's profitability. In the B2B sector, our growth was 11%. In the quarter and 12% in the 6 month accumulated. It's important to highlight here that in this quarter we have, as in other past quarters, a comparison base which has still not been impacted by the forced churn which took place in the third quarter of 2021, which reduced the revenue of the sector. So starting by the third quarter of 2022, we will finally have comparable bases that will help us to better measure our growth. On slide 13 now, we show you and demonstrate the behavior of our profitability in the quarter when compared to the past periods. The graph on the left, it's possible to observe a gain of 1.3 percentage points in gross margins when compared with the second quarter of 2021, as well as more stability when compared to the first quarter of 2022, reflecting the gains of efficiency that Bruno has mentioned, which mitigated inflationary impacts, especially those related to the cost of fuel. In the 6 month accumulated, the evolution of gross profit was 44%, and the margin maintained the level of 18.2 with an increase of 1.2 percentage points. To the right, EBITDA shows important growth of 58%, reaching 75.8 million reais. EBITDA margin was 15.3, 2.3 percentage points above last year. Besides the dilution of SG&A in relation to the net revenue, highlighting the reduction of our costs of people, we had a positive non-recurrent effect in this quarter, which was the result of 14.1 million reais resulting in from the sale of investment in a log tech we had from 2018, which no longer presents alignment with the strategy of the ecosystem. We would like to highlight that this investment represented great financial returns to the company. In the 6 month accumulated EBITDA, reported EBITDA increased 66% with an expansion of 2.2 percentage points in margin. Finally, on slide 14, you can see the graph with the generation of cash flow. With second quarter of 2022, we generated 17.6 million reais versus a consumption of 35.4 million reais in 2021. Given our strong growth and the impact of cash needs, we have worked to improve our processes of receivables and payables. Our average price for receiving was 66 days in the last quarter, stable in relation to last year, and average payment term of 51 days, an improvement of 20 days when compared to 2021. In the first 6 months of 2022, we generated 56.2 million reais of operational working cash flow, with a conversion of 49.2% of our reported EBITDA. To the right, we have the graphs of the investments which were performed and debt. We performed 6.8 million reais of investment in this quarter, reaching a level of 1.1 in gross revenue. And in the last 6 months, we have invested 51 million reais, representing 2.4% of gross revenue. Our net debt reached 327 million reais with a 1.4% EBITDA level in the last 12 months. So the relationship of net debt EBITDA remains healthy. With this, I close the presentation of financial results and pass the word to Armando once again. Thank you, Stucky. I want to thank everyone for participating, each of the speakers and those who have come to listen in our results call for the last quarter, and open to questions and answers. We're here to answer your questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the questions and answers section. To ask a question, please type in asterisk 1. To remove the question from the list, type asterisk 2. Our first question comes from Lucas Nancioli from BTG Pactual. Please go ahead, Lucas. Hi, good morning. The sound is coming through very broken up to me. I can't receive the question. Translation apologizes. Hi, Lucas. We really can't hear you. I think it's a little better now. Let's try again. Well, Lucas continues to break up. But, well, very quickly, he wants to ask about volumes. So we see your strong performed well in the month of... Lucas' sound is breaking up. The question doesn't reach us. So he's asking about performance. The second point would be if you could comment on the recent movements in the sector. After a month and a half after the acquisition, the sound continues to break up. Translation apologizes. The question doesn't reach us. So those are my two questions. Thank you. Okay, Lucas, can you hear us? It's Stucky here answering. Yes, we can hear you, Stucky. Great. So we heard... Your question really broke up here. The sound did not come through well. So just to see if it's clear, the first question you asked was about B2C, correct? So the performance of B2C, we did well in the first quarter. And then the predictions, are the predictions for the future along the same lines? Yes, B2C volume, that's it. Okay? All right, so... Hi, Lucas. Bruno here. I'm going to answer this question. Good morning. To answer your question, first of all, I just want to make sure you can hear me. Yes, we can hear you. It's breaking up a bit, but comes through. Okay, let me see. Wait, I'm not sure if it's your, it's the problem's on your end or ours, but let's go about our B2C performance. Yes, we did have great performance. Moving forward, we... see a big change. We don't see a big change of this trend. We think we will continue strong in B2C, bringing in higher volumes for the company. We have good perspectives for that sector moving forward. So we do think we will be able to keep up with the volume that we are transacting. As I mentioned in this slide, we wanted to bring in this presentation a little bit of what is happening in terms of the gains in scale, which have been increasing in B2C and in our unitary costs. This was a point that I told you about, that we were concerned with average ticket drops with the higher orders of lighter products, but the cost also drops. So we think the margins will be safely within the levels we're predicting. So in summary, yes, we don't understand why this movement was non-recurrent, but we do think that moving forward, it will be very similar to what has been happening with B2C. Thank you, Bruno. Okay, Lucas, about your second question. It's difficult for us to talk about the competition because for us, we think the competitive environment remains quite the same, despite everything that the media has been howling about. What happens is that every time that there is some sort of more robust investment of a retailer in a transporter, over time, naturally, the market adjusts with this transporter receiving higher volume from this retailer and the other retailers not sending the same volume to them. But we still have not seen, I mean, we can't ensure what will happen. It's a recent trend, especially since we have a, well, since it's a minor participation. So for us, for now, nothing has changed. Thank you, Rodrigo. Thank you, Stuki. Okay, Lucas. Thank you. Our next question comes from the webcast from Lucas Barbosa from Santander. Good morning, Armando, Bruno, and Stuki. Congrats on the results. My question is about the second quarter. Can you give us some light on what's going on and for the second quarter in terms of expansion and growth of margin? If you allow me, second question, we also heard that a competitor of Sequoia cut down their employees by 15%. Do you think that given the scenario of increase of cost of capital and high inflation, we will see similar things happening with competitors, let's say slowing down your competitors over the next quarter? Thank you, Lucas, for that question. Armando here. So I think we have seen a dynamic that Bruno mentioned about Marchiori's question, a dynamic which moving forward towards the second quarter, we see something more stable. Obviously, there's always a change in the mix, which may happen or take place over time, especially in the second quarter, as you know. There are the stronger dates of Black Friday and Christmas, which are strong for online shopping. But the big question, Lucas, is really about the macroeconomy. So, you know, interest rates are higher now, and this creates an environment which is more restrictive for credit, where people, in terms of buying more added value products or indebtedness. So this environment does change the profile of consumption and the mix of categories, which for us, I mean, we don't see a reduction of volume, but we may end up noticing a change in terms of average ticket. But as Bruno mentioned, we have today more than 4,000 clients, the integration on digital, integrated on digital platforms as well, and we end up sort of reflecting market behavior and advancing on some categories as well as gaining participation in specific services, which brings us some stability. I think in terms of the second quarter, we think that the first quarter was more challenging because of the rapid scale-up of inflation as we saw from January to July. We had an increase in the prices of diesel of almost 50%. So, you know, the company focused on how, as you saw, on the results, and we were able to pass this on to the chain and maintain margin stability. So we had this discipline of carefully looking at our side, at our operation to contain these spikes in costs. We think that in the second quarter, we won't see the same thing happen again for diesel as we saw happen in the first quarter. So I think the environment will probably be less challenging. Inflation is somehow already being diluted throughout the chain. So the main diesel impact and also the increases in manpower and labor costs, and we have always been readjusting this and maintaining margin. And growing our revenue is really a matter of what we said We might see a change in mix, maybe a few less heavy products or added value products, a reduction of we have seen some drops in electronics, sales of electronics and some white line products. So this does change or affect our average ticket, and it also changes our revenue. But we still see positive components for the company in terms of the projects we have underway and all of our integration. This also benefits our scale. In terms of your second question, more specifically asking about the competitive sector, Lucas, we know that historically this is a sector with which has a restriction of a credit restriction. The industry as a whole has limited credit, so it's a sector which suffers from this lack of private credit. And this, with interest rates at 3.75 Selic, it ends up being too expensive, and this impacts the sector as a whole. So just as we here are concerned with our cash flow management and investment management, the sector as a whole will become more conservative. So we do understand that competition will, let's say, slow a bit, but also the sector does have a competition which is well established. We've been in the sector for 12 years. But we do believe that in this type of environment with high inflation, with high interest rates, credit does slow. So there will be some impact on our, or maybe there will be a lower growth of small companies which are more restricted for new investments. And so this ends up generating more opportunity for leading companies in the sector. And this historically happens in Brazil. We think we're now entering one of these cycles. So we think that in the future, we will probably have more opportunities along these lines. Thanks for the question, Lucas. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Please wait while we await for new questions. Our next question will be asked in English, and it comes from Scott Piper, Itaú Asset Management. Please, Scott.
Yes, hello. Apologies for speaking in English. I hope you can hear me. My question is in regards to the inorganic growth strategy. I was wondering if you could describe what more specifically where more on a geographic scale or is it more technology related?
Onde pretendem se concentrar, focar os esforços.
And you mentioned your net debt to EBITDA, I think, is 1.4 times. Where is your comfort level in that measure?
Tem confortável e como se sente em relação a esse nível de endividamento.
That's all.
Obrigado, Scott. Devido aos outros, eu vou responder em português, porque você pode usar a tradução. Obrigado. So Scott, just answering your question about the inorganic strategy for growth and how this may affect our leverage. We have a leverage of net debt EBITDA, which is under control. We have kept this indicator well under control. So I can start by answering by M&A. I think that what we've seen over the last more recent times, we talked about this before already, is that the capital market has had an important drop in price and valuation of companies, not only Sequoia, but also other companies, other tech companies and e-commerce sector, different growth companies. So this impacted us a lot. And this multiple was already absorbed by the market, has been absorbed by the private market. So we are still, in our M&A strategy, we still expect a reduction of private multiples because of this macroeconomic adjustment that we had in interest rates and Seliki rates, as well as the reduction in valuations being transacted in capital markets. So I think there's always a delay, certain interval between this and this adjustment. So there, we have no rush to execute any M&As. At the moment, we have seen and have felt, had good conversations along these lines, but we will continue with our M&A, our disciplined M&A and capital management strategy. What we see in terms of, we see as an opportunity to continue to continue strengthening, Scott, our ecosystem, which we are sharing in the presentation, in the beginning, it was shared in the beginning of the presentation. So strengthening some B2C fronts, maybe geographically, or some investments in B2C that we think, we still think we have a lot of room to expand geographically, B2C and B2B. Just reminding you, Scott, that if we go to slide number 5 of the presentation, then you can see all of these services in B2C. We have light B2C, heavy B2C. We have multi-origin pickups. And in B2B, also with Express, LTL, you can remember that for B2B, we are still not offering our services to regions of North, Northeast, and Center West. So it does make sense to grow geographically, keep looking at opportunities to expand geographically, moving our services into new areas, but always strengthening our basic position. We don't see any movements happening in the short term towards a change of our strategy, which is focused on e-commerce, B2C, B2B, Express, VLTL, and logistics. We continue very focused on assessing these opportunities and understanding what will bring us value on the medium and long term. And in terms of M&A or these acquisitions and eventually business opportunities and synergies that can add value to our strategy, we won't be doing anything different than what is already contained in the figure on slide number 5. That's our focus. So we're very disciplined on this strategy. We're looking at opportunities for acquisitions that fit well within our ecosystem of technology and digital services, as well as B2C, B2B services, and logistics services. And obviously, if we keep looking at opportunities of what we looked of companies that do from 150 to 200 million reais, this has always been our history of acquisitions. The last 3 acquisitions were along these levels. We understand then that we will continue to keep our level of leverage safe at 1.4 to 2 times EBITDA. We won't go much off this level, because those are the companies that interest us and that help us to finance the acquisition. So I think we need to keep this outlook strong. But the message we told you is that we don't have big changes along these lines because of the market dynamics. So capital gains market fell much more than the private market, and this is still being adjusted. We see some signs of this adjustment of private multiples. This should, will probably be adjusted over time, allowing us to maintain our inorganic structure, a strategy which is very important to us. We will continue consolidating the market, increasing scale, gaining benefits through scale, and taking all of the services of our portfolio to different regions in Brazil. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Obrigado. Our next question came from Josh Milberg, Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, Josh. Good morning, and thanks for organizing this call. I have a follow-up question about the scenario of the B2C scenario. You commented on this a lot, but in the first quarter, you did express some concern, and you had suggested also, I remember, that a component of growth wasn't 100% recurrent, and you suggested that it might have been the result of your competitors not being 100% ready to receive the volume. In your case, it seems to not be the case, but I would like to ask if this is still a factor in the second quarter. And my second question would be if you could explore the scenario of growth of B2B. I think in the beginning of the year, you had ambitions of growing at a level higher than the first quarter, and you mentioned now the issue of expanding into new regions, but I wanted to understand this a little better, understand the scenario for the second quarter for next year. Perfect, Josh. Good morning, Armando here. About the first question. In the first quarter, we don't see any components of our revenue as non-recurrent. So these are, I think, well, the comment that you reminded us of was relation to the first quarter where we saw this behavior. But in the second quarter, it's already coming from different places, different contracts, different clients, different regions. So we don't understand that there would be a non-recurrent effect here. As we also mentioned to Lucas Barbosa and Marchiali, what might happen are changes in the mix for regions, but that is the dynamic of our business. It will continue to exist and will always exist. And what we have demonstrated is our capacity for adapting and to different clients and contracts needs, maintaining growth above market level, which is what we've seen and delivered in the last quarter. We grew even more than e-commerce, which shows that we're gaining in volume and scale and share and market share. But we don't see for the second quarter any not extraordinary or non-recurrent components. We understand that we're just what we're talking about here is a volume that we should expect for the next periods as well. But of course, Josh, there's always the issue that we like to mention that is that things are dynamic. So the market depends. It depends on the market. It depends on growth as a whole. It depends on the performance of each of our clients. And what we do is we increase the amount of solutions and the reach of our services, assuring this dynamism and assuring, our growth. In terms of B2B, your question makes sense. It's right to ask. We had this expectation. I think there was a big change in the economics for the sector as a whole, as I mentioned, from January to the current moment. Even considering the drop in the prices of diesel that Petrobras mentioned, from January to last year, we have an impact in diesel prices. 55% an increase, so that when high inflation, so obviously that does affect our dynamics in the sector. I think you have been able to see how all of the retail has increased sales at points of sale. B2C does physical retail, attends to the physical retail market. So the dynamics have changed in the last few months. So we expected more growth that was a little more difficult due to the macro economy. But I think that in terms of our base, of our foundation, we continued liking the sector. We'll continue to invest and explore the integration of B2C and B2B in terms of technology and the way we use our hubs and our routes, which would also give us a medium and long-term vision that's very sustainable. So we see a more difficult scenario with a drop in average tickets, points of sale, physical points of sale, with lower sales than last year. So this all obviously brings a more challenging sector for B2B as a whole. But we believe that for the next periods, we will continue on this level of recovery, increasing participation of B2B in our business. Obviously, as B2C grows to the levels at the levels it has grown and we've delivered, there's an important impact on our matrix, representing 64% in this period of the second quarter of 2022. Thanks for the question, Josh. Thank you for the answer. Our next question comes from Arlindo Souza on the webcast. Good morning, and thanks and congrats on the results. Given the price of fuel, do we expect a drop for the second quarter? How does the company see the environment in terms of gross margin? Thank you. Hi, Arlindo. Bruno here. Thanks for that question. So just sort of hooking onto what Armando just said, if we look at the price accruals for diesel this year, we're talking about an increase of 55%. So we understand that the environment, the inflationary environment, should be less challenging than it was in the first quarter, but not as different. So, or different enough to cause an important change in the margin and prices. Our main thesis, and it will continue to be Sequoia's main thesis, is that if there are any other increases or spikes in fuel prices, then we will be able to readjust the prices and maintaining margins and continuing to increase volume. But if we look at the perspective at the moment, we can't see something very different than what's been happening in the short term, given the fact that things were unproportional this year. And now what we see is basically an adjustment of and not inflationary pending for the next few months. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Please await. Just to remind you that to ask a question, you have to type *1. Please, let's wait and see if there are any further questions. Thank you. With that, we close the questions and answers session of this results call, and I will pass the word back to Mr. Armando Marquesa Neto, founder and CEO of the company, for his final considerations. Please, Mr. Armando, go ahead. Thank you. I would like to take advantage of this opportunity to share with you the results of the second quarter of 2022, robust results which show our commitment with delivering results and also preparing for a very engaged and exciting second semester, third and fourth quarter. Thank you to the investors for coming, participating, and asking questions. Thanks. We continue to be available through our investor relations channels and to answer your questions and communicate as needed. Thanks and have a great day.